And Lord, we do give you thanks. Oh Lord, I know before I accepted you as my Lord and Savior, I was totally, totally lost. But now, Lord, because of your saving grace, I just thank you and praise you that you called me by name to be yours. And I surrendered my life to you. And Lord, I pray right now in Jesus' name that there's somebody here today that has got a heart that is broken and contrite and needs you as their Lord and Savior. I pray, Father God, that this will be their day of rebirth. I pray, Lord, that the message that they're going to hear will affect them throughout the rest of their life, that they will come to know you as their personal Lord and Savior. We don't preach religion down here, Lord. We preach relationship. Father, we pray in Jesus' name for Ed as he gives your word. Father, speak through him boldly. Give him what he needs to say to reach the hearts of many. We'll give you all the glory, honor, and praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Now, this is our good friend Ed, and he's got a wonderful message for you here. And just listen up. Okay. Here you go, Ed Bachman.
Good morning. Good morning, everybody. How are we doing? Everybody okay? So I've been praying the last couple weeks about, so now we have the opportunity to share with you, you know, a short amount of time, share with you a message. You know, I've been praying about what the Lord has me to teach you this morning. And it's pretty simple. I'm a pretty simple man. And I'll tell you, here is one thing I want you to get. This could be a 30-second sermon, right? Amen. He said amen. This book right here, this is the Bible I'm holding up. There is nothing more important, there's nothing more powerful than the words on this page, on these pages. And yet, we're going to talk a little bit this morning about why this book is so powerful. And we're going to talk a little bit about misconceptions of the Bible, some that I have had for years and I'm still getting through, right? And there's a reason that you're not reading the Bible. And we'll talk about a couple of those. I did like an independent survey, right? So I went and asked family and friends. I said, so even strong Christian people, I said, so why don't you read your Bible? And we're going to talk a little bit about that. But let's get into it a little bit. That's right. So when I first became a Christian, I thought that the Bible was just a bunch of stories, right? I thought that, hey, the Bible, that can't be true, right? These things can't happen. And the more I read the Bible, the more it became clear to me that this is power in these words. So I started studying why the Bible is accurate, okay? And I challenge you guys too. There is some very, very important things in the Bible. One of the big things is it's historically accurate. For years we've been talking about, you know, how the Bible talks about different cities. And every city that's mentioned in the Bible that they've been trying to refute, saying, a little closer. They've been trying to say, well, that city didn't exist. But you can go now and you can stand in Ephesus, and you can stand where Jesus walked. You can stand in the Garden of Gethsemane. It's historically accurate. The other thing I love about the Bible is all the prophecies in the Bible have or will come true. So, amen. That's right. I love Richard's ministry, by the way. I love the fact that we are praising the Lord as we're preaching the word, right? So as far as the prophecies, so there's 300 messianic prophecies. So if you think about it, back in the 740 BC is when the book of Isaiah was written. 740 BC. So in that time, Isaiah prophesied that Jesus would die on the cross. Years before the Romans even understood what crucifixion was, it was prophesied. Years before Jesus was even thought about in the Old Testament, they predicted that he would be the son of a virgin, right? They predicted that none of his bones would be broken. 300 of those prophecies. Now think about this. People much smarter than I, some statisticians, try to figure out what the odds are of someone today predicting something 740 years in advance. And the odds of that happening are 1 in 10 to the 17th power. So tell me it takes more faith to believe the Bible is not accurate than it does that it is accurate. So all these prophecies came true. The other thing is, think about the Bible. There's 66 books in the Bible, 40 authors, and there's one theme. There's one theme, and that's God's salvation. God loves you guys. Do you guys believe that God loves you this morning?
Amen.
Amen. That's right. And you believe it. You believe it. And we're going to talk a little bit about the power of the Word and what's in the Word. But the other thing you think about is the most powerful book in the world. Do you know how many copies of the Bible have been produced? 6 billion copies. Do you know that in the history of the world, the next greatest book in terms of number is not even 1 billion? So this book is by far the most popular book, by far, it's the most powerful book. It is truth. And the other thing about it is it's accurate. You know, some people will tell me, Ed, well, how can it be passed down from years and years? And people think the Bible was just passed down by sharing your stories with other people. And over the years, the stories get watered down. You need to understand that the Word of God was written by scribes. These scribes had a full-time job. Their full-time job was to write down, not just hear from other people, but to write down word for word, letter for letter. The Bible is accurate down to the letter. In fact, we didn't know this until we found the Dead Sea Scrolls in 1947. Because in 1947, there was a group of goat shepherds that stumbled across a series of caves. There's 11 caves. And in those caves, they found scriptures, original scriptures that have been preserved. And the amazing thing about the Dead Sea Scrolls, it confirmed everything we already knew, which is the Bible was exactly accurate. So the accuracy of the Bible is key. So let's talk a little bit about why we don't. Well, here's one other thing, too. So when you talk about the Bible, how important the Bible is, the Bible is good enough for Jesus. It should be good enough for me. I used to love, right? Amen. I used to love that those things, WWJD. It was kind of a little fad, but you know, I love what would Jesus do? So think about this. And we have the Super Bowl coming up, right? Two mighty powers clashing, and you know, at the risk of sounding weird, I would say there's a Super Bowl in the Bible too, right? There's a time when Jesus had just been baptized, right? And Jesus is going 40 days to be tempted. And this is the mighty clash between the King of all kings, right? The God that hung the stars against the King of all evil, which was Satan. And these two guys go at it head to head. And let's read those verses a little bit. It's actually in Matthew 4, and it's also in Luke 4. So Matthew 4. Okay, so here we are, Matthew 4. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit from the desert to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. Don't forget, Jesus was fully man. So this wasn't a fake hunger. This is a real hunger. So Jesus is physically weak. And isn't Satan just like that? Isn't Satan just like it when you're weak? Have you guys ever been tired and weak? Right. And that's when Satan wants to get you. But here's what Jesus does. So the tempter came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. All right. Now, for Jesus, you're hungry. You're thinking he could have done that. Right. Could Jesus have done that? Did he have the power to do that? But did he choose to do that? He didn't. And here's what he says. He says, Jesus answered, it is written. It is written. And that's important. He says, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. So here we go. Jesus is quoting Deuteronomy. It's actually Deuteronomy 8:3. So do you think it's the Lord who loves us, who we've committed our life to? If he's reading a book, do you think we should read that same book? And the other thing, too, is so you're faced with all kinds of things. Some of you maybe are going through a tough time. I know some of you are going through a tough time. Maybe you're worried about something. Maybe you're tired of the haven and you just want to just have a place alone. And maybe you're looking for how to pay your next paycheck. Maybe you're a couple of days into the month and your food cart has already run out. These are all things that, you know, are heavy on your heart. But think about what our Lord did. He said, it is written. Okay? So let's talk about the next thing. So then the score is what? Jesus won, Satan nothing, right? So then it says, then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand in the highest point of the temple. If you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down, for it is written. So now Satan gets a little more crafty. Satan says, okay, I'm going to quote the Bible. So Satan says, he quotes Psalm 91. Okay, so Satan says, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up their hands so that you will not strike your foot against the stone. But Jesus answers him, it is also written, right? It is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test. So Jesus responds, and that's Deuteronomy 6:16. So are you guys getting the theory here? The clash of the mightiest powers, evil and good, the crux of that is the Bible. And yet, in your lives, where does the Bible fall? And I'm not just judging you, believe me. This is myself, too. As I've been praying the last couple of weeks, I think every decision we make, every pain that we have, why are we not going to the Bible? It's such a powerful source. All right, so now, what's the score now? Jesus 2, Satan nothing, right? I love this. So that says, again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. All this I will give to you, he said, if you bow down and worship me. And Jesus said to him, away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. That's Deuteronomy 6:13. Okay. So if the Bible is good enough for Christ, it's good enough for me. And you think about it. Let's look at the actual verses. You know, I love the verse 2 Timothy 3:16. It says, all scripture is God-breathed. God-breathed. So it's powerful. And before that, the verse before that, it says, how from infancy you have known the Holy Scripture, which are able to make you wise. You know, have you ever wondered, Lord, why can't I just have wisdom? What do I do here? I'm struggling with this decision. I'm struggling with what's going on in my life. The answer is right in this book. The answer is in the Bible. Psalm 119 says, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Amen? It's a lamp. It's a light. And I'll tell you, you can talk about the world. I think for the most part, the world is dark. For the most part, it's a hard place. And if you're a believer, you know what I'm talking about, in that we're just passing through. We were never meant to be here forever. You know, we're looking forward to Jesus coming home or us going home to him, right? For those of you who are believers. All right. Hebrews 4:12. Here's another verse. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. All right. Sharper than any two-edged sword. That's the strength of the Bible. Psalm 1:2. But we delight in the law of the Lord. So all these powerful things in the Bible, by Jesus, by historical accuracy, and yet we don't read it. So they did a study, they had a time study of how we spend our time in 2012. And it said that only 26% of Americans read the Bible. 26%. So that's 1 in 4 will read the Bible. Of those, they read it less than 5 minutes a day. So we just established the power of this book, the truth of this book. It's good enough for Jesus, and yet we spend like this much time reading it. So let's talk a little bit about why that is. I think when I started interviewing people about why they don't read the Bible, one of the first answers I got, and this may be your answer, I just don't have time. Ed, I'm so busy. I got so much going on. Ed, I don't have time. Psalm 90:12 says, teach us to number our days that we may get a heart of wisdom, right? We only have so much time. And the other thing, too, is think about this. You have to be stewards of your time, not unlike any other thing, any of your riches. You know, when we stand before Jesus or bow before Jesus at the end of our lives, we're going to have to account for things. We're going to have to account for what we did with our money. We're going to account for what we did with our talents. And we're going to have to account for what we did with our time, right? All right, so here's another verse, Psalm 31. I love this verse. My times are in your hands. My time is a gift from Jesus. And for those of you, if you've lost a loved one young, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Or if you've lost anyone for that matter, you know, you realize the value and precious part of time. Who knows? The Lord could come back today, right? I mean, you could go home to the Lord today. There's no promises, guys. There is no promises that any one of us are going to be here next week. So let's take advantage of our time. So I think if we're true, I love that ESPN, it says, come on, man. You guys ever heard that? It's like basically what it means is if someone's telling you something that's not true, you say, come on, man. Well, here's my challenge. If you say, I don't have time for the Lord, I'm going to say, come on, man.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So let's look at a quick video. Steve's going to show us a quick video on how we spend our time. Go ahead.
These are roughly 28,835 jelly beans. I counted out 500 of them and used those to weigh the rest. In this pile, there's one jelly bean for each day that the average American will live. You might have more beans in your life, or maybe less, but on average, this is the time we have. Here's a single bean. It's your very first day. A special day, but kind of a rough day on everyone involved. Add 364 more and you have the first year of your life. Now, for a sense of scale, here are your first 15 years, 5,475 days, which brings us to the threshold of adulthood. And at that moment, this is the time that we have left. And this is, on average, what we will do with all that time. We will be asleep for a total of 8,477 days. If we're lucky, some of that time we'll be sleeping next to someone we love. We will be in the process of eating, drinking, or preparing food for 1,635 days. We'll be at work, hopefully doing something satisfying, for the equivalent of 3,202 of those days. 1,099 days will be spent commuting or traveling from one place to another, maybe a little bit more if you live in LA. On average, we will watch television in one form or another for a total of 2,676 days. Household activities, like chores and tending to our pets and shopping, will take another 1,576 days. And we will care for the needs and well-being of others, our friends and family, for 564 days. We'll spend 671 days bathing, grooming, and doing all other bathroom-related activities. And another 720 days will go to community activities, like religious and civic duties, charities, and taking classes. After we remove all those beans, this is what remains. This is the time that we have left. Time for laughing, swimming, making art, going on hikes, text messages, reading, checking Facebook, playing softball, maybe even teaching yourself how to play the guitar. So what are you going to do with this time? How much of it do you think you've already used up? If you only had half of it, what would you do differently? What about half of that? How much time have you already spent worrying instead of doing something that you love? What if you just had one more day? What are you going to do today?
I love that word picture, right? So go back and tell people the sermon today was about jelly beans, right? What are you going to do today? Today could be the last day of your life. You know, and here's the thing. If you're anything like I was, before I asked Christ into my heart, I resisted for a while, right? I wasn't sure, you know, I kind of knew in my heart that I needed to ask Christ in there, but I wasn't sure. If this morning you have thought about it before, but never had the courage or boldness to come to this altar, today's your day, right? Today is your day to give your heart to the Lord. And I promise you, your life may not get better in terms of your circumstances, but I promise you, you will be fulfilled, right? All right, so let's go to that's excuse number one is we don't have time. Excuse number two, and again, this is from my independent research. You don't understand the Bible, right? You don't read it because you don't understand it. And I'll tell you, that is Satan's biggest lie. There are things in the Bible, I guarantee you, that you will not know this side of heaven. You know, there are things in the Bible you're going to scratch your head and say, I don't know. Is that a reason not to read the Bible? Think about this. Here's Mark 12:30. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and all your strength. Right? That's the word of God. That's Mark 12. How hard is that to understand? I mean, really, how hard is that? What are you going to say?
Well, let's look at the original Greek and let's figure it out.
No, it's so obvious. It's love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength. The third reason I think that people don't believe in the Bible is they don't understand the power of the Word. They don't understand the power that's in the Word. If you understood that God worked through and God is His handwriting through the prophets and through the writers of the Bible, it's His writing. He gave this to us, but He also gave us the Holy Spirit. The day that I asked Christ into my heart is the day that I had the Holy Spirit to help me to understand what to do in my life, okay? So, in Matthew 22, Jesus is talking to some Gentiles, and they are talking, you know, about some things that aren't accurate. And Jesus says to them, "You are wrong because you do not know the Scriptures or the power of God." So if you paraphrase, Jesus is saying, come on, man, right? I mean, Jesus is saying, hey, listen, it's all right here in black and white. So here's what I'd like to do. I'd like to have a challenge this morning. So if you tell me you love Jesus, and I teach 5th and 6th graders, and I tell the 5th and 6th graders, I said, don't tell me you're a Christian. Don't tell me you're a Christian. Show me, right? So if you tell me, you know, if you say, hey, Ed, I love Jesus, then I'm going to say, well, are you looking at His Word? This is what He gave you. So here's the challenge. Oh, and one more thing, too, by the way. This may be very simple, but I'll say it. Some of you maybe don't read the Bible because you don't have one. If you need a Bible, please, please, please come up to me after service, and next week I will get you a Bible. And it'll be a good Bible. You want a Bible? We will get you a Bible. Believe me. I hope every single one of you comes up. Believe me, that would be a praise. But if you don't have a Bible, pick one up this week. There's some up here, I think, but I'll get you another one. It is so important, guys. It is so important to be reading your Word, because that's our power, right? That's our double-edged sword that we read about. That's what Jesus used, right? And if it's good enough for Jesus, it's good enough for us, right? All right. So let's bow our heads and pray, okay? Father God, we thank You so much for this morning. We thank You for a morning when Your mercies are brand new. Father God, we just thank You for this morning. We thank You for Jesus Said Ministries. I thank You for, you know, just Steve and Judy and their love. And Lord, I pray for all the volunteers who got up this morning. And Lord, I just thank You for Your Word. Thank You for giving us the Bible, Lord. We are so grateful and thankful that Your truth is in black and white, Lord. And Lord, I pray this morning that if there's someone out there this morning that You've been tugging on their hearts, I pray they have the courage to stand up. They have the courage to come to this altar and pray with some solid Christian men and women. And Lord, I pray that You will bless this morning. And Lord, You know our hearts. You know the struggles that many of us are going through. And You care about them. And Jesus, we love You and we thank You so much for this day. We commit this day, right? We dedicate this day, Jesus, to You. We love You, Jesus. And all the Lord's people said, amen. Amen. Amen.